you're working from home. You settle in with a cup of coffee, ready to get the day started. Before you look at that to-do list, turn on your favorite Odyssey sports station on your smart speaker. We'll keep you company and bring you the latest updates from your teams while you tackle your inbox or get ready for another meeting that probably could have been an email. Power through the workday with the entertaining sports coverage you love from the local voices you trust. Just ask your smart speaker to play your favorite station.
Chicago!
The Parkinson Spiegel Show.
Hey everybody, we are live!
Are you guys grinding or are you guys having fun?
We're having fun.
And here's the controversy. Listen, we love fun, right?
Spend some time with our friends Danny Parkins and Matt Spiegel.
Yes.
I'd want to be nowhere else but here.
Parkinson Spiegel, they're amazing!
Are they?
Yeah, but are they?
I go on the score and talk with Matt and Danny.
Yeah, Danny Parkins, one of the old timers.
Sometimes says this is the show where things happen.
It's a disgusting way to do talk radio.
Danny and Matt do an excellent job.
A little too much Parkins.
We can erase it from the FCC.
Strange twists and turns on the Parkinson Spiegel Show.
I don't know what's going on with any of it.
We're the show where things happen.
Everybody, Ice Cube!
Cube, thank you for answering our text and putting up with our ridiculousness.
Anytime.
Bob Odenkirk.
How are you guys doing?
Mark Wahlberg's here.
Chicago, we love you, baby. Come on.
Shane, wake up. Danny, we gotta have another little taste because Spiggs is here. Huh? 5 o'clock somewhere.
Every time I come on this show, old school great radio.
Johnny B.
I'm riveted to the score. It's the last bastion of talk radio.
I mean, you guys are the best team in Chicago. Everybody knows that.
Parkinson Spiegel, these guys are going to be incredible and amazing. And they started talking over my promo for them at the beginning of the show. And here we go, Jim. Tony! Oh, Jim, we can start the show right now.
Hey there, good to talk to you. As we send you into the weekend and some pretty incredible programming coming up at 6 o'clock tonight. It is the premiere of A Salute to Sandberg. Mark Grody will host a one-hour documentary honoring the legacy of Ryan Sandberg before his statue is unveiled at Wrigley Field on Sunday. That is tonight, 6 to 7, of course, right here on your home with the Cubs. That'll be an amazing thing this weekend, even if that game today speaks very much not amazing.
No, not amazing. The Shota Imanaga train had been an incredible one to be riding on, to be watching. Whatever you do with a train, you do both, I suppose. If you look out the window, you can see the train. That's kind of fun sometimes.
Oh, my toddlers love trains. They see a train, and it's just they have to tell everyone they know about the train.
There you go. My city kid has looked out the window and watched trains since he was a baby, and he's been watching the Imanaga train, haven't we all?
I'll be bringing the 2 and 4 year old on a train to Wrigley on Sunday.
There you go.
They're excited about the baseball game, but really it's about where you ride a train to the baseball game. That's
trains are everywhere. Thank God I picked that analogy. What the hell else were we gonna do?
You know? I mean, I would have probably had something for you on any other analogy, but trains are hot in my house. No question.
Well, it's a big moment for trains. The train, it crashed. It crashed today. That's a scary game. That's a scary outcome on the Shota Imanaga front because velocity was down, and because the fastball was pounced upon, and because we knew he's a fly ball guy, and now you're like, all right, is this the beginning of some fly ball regression where, like, they're all going to be home runs for a little while? We'll have to see. Maybe it's nothing to panic over, but when that's been, like, the glaringly great thing amidst a lot of mediocre stuff that they may be snapping out of, maybe not, it's a little rough to see the glaringly great thing be bad.
Yeah, the velocity is the concern. The missed location, I am not as concerned about, right? That feels he was throwing his fastball 89 and 90 instead of 92 and 93. And instead of it painting the edges of the zone and getting in on the hands, it was lower half of the zone middle. That's not going to work.
Yeah, no, he's supposed to be out of the top of the zone, like just barely. And
he was low.
Hey, yeah, the Alvarez one was way high. Alvarez is just like a powerful dude who just decided to pounce on something that was out of the zone. But the other two, those were right there in the middle and cannot be.
Yeah, and so the combination of bad velocity, bad location. Bad location could be attributed to rust and bad day. bad velocity when they're being careful with him. This was a start on 5 days rest. This was not one of the few 4 day rest starts that he had had. They skipped him. They rearranged the rotation. What was that? 2.5, 3 weeks ago.
Yeah.
For him to give him the full long stretch between starts. I don't know about a train crash, but it's certainly a delay. Certainly maybe a small derailment. And, you know, it is very, very hard to imagine this team getting back into the thick of this thing and actually ever being considered good if the one part of the team that has been good and excellent merely becomes average or mediocre. So the hope was that the starting pitching would stay great and, you know, defense would play how it's supposed to and offense would kind of regress to being above average. And then, hey, maybe you're an 87, 88 win baseball team that could be dangerous in the playoffs. If the starting pitching regresses, season's over.
Yeah, well, he's just that's been the great strength, and he's been win day. I mean, the Cubs were 11-2; they were 9 over, you know, in games when he pitched, and otherwise it's been obviously awful. So now 11-3; they're not going to be able to survive that thing. All right, so what do we got? We got the train, not necessarily crashing, but broken down a little bit between.
Yeah, it needs
stops.
An engineer.
Yeah, yeah, and a lot of customers got out of the train, got off the train, and were walking to the next stop. But there were still actually plenty of customers on the train enjoying themselves.
Yeah,
I don't
Mets
know how many
fans.
People left.
a lot of Mets fans on the train.
But there were a lot of Mets fans there. You heard them.
Yeah, there were.
Yeah,
Chicago in the summer, it's an easy flight, as I'm getting familiar with.
Uh-huh.
And, yeah, they were. Trolling Nito the catcher at the end of the game is the whole thing is just it's annoying. I'm out here in New York and I found myself in a baseball conversation and two people, so it's not a huge sample, I'll admit, but two said, weren't the Cubs supposed to be good? It's like, yeah, they were supposed to be good. Were the Mets supposed to be good? Hey, the Mets have been better recently is the pushback I got. Okay, fine.
The Mets are the same as the Cubs. They're just having a moment where they look like they might be a little bit better. But, like, there's only four teams in the National League over 500, man. I mean, this is – the National League has a massive, mediocre middle. And
but some of those teams are not spending a bunch of money, and some of those teams are not supposed to be good. The Cubs do not fall into either of those categories.
No, it's true, but like, are the Cubs better than the Mets? Are the Cubs better than the Pirates? Are the Cubs better than the Reds, who are there the same amount of games under 500 and just got lit up by them? You know, recently lost 5 out of 6 to them. The Nationals are only 2 games under 500. It's like there is just a big, ugly middle that the Cubs are on the bottom of right now. They're on the bottom of the big, ugly middle right now in the National League. And this whole league has to sort itself out over the next month because it's hard to tell who's supposed to be who.
Yeah, I know who the Cubs are supposed to be, but I know what they've been, and the sample is more than large enough at this point, man. It's you know, we don't need to do the trade deadline thing on a Friday afternoon, but they dig themselves too big of a hole. This is, I saw in the marquee postgame, this is 5 straight series opening losses.
Boof.
Like, it sets the tone. Then Schoeder today gives you 3 innings, so that is terrible for the bullpen. I mean, this is the loss that you hope isn't 1.5 losses that carries over as they go forward. You know, they just... Anytime you feel like, oh, okay, Hap's turning a corner, or this guy's doing good, like someone gets injured or someone else goes into a slump or something else happens. I mean, Dansby today leaving the game early, just precautionary. He had been looking a little bit better. It's just I'm not the biggest momentum believer, but, like, it's just this thing can't – it's so herky-jerky. This thing can't get going, and just there's nothing positive that's being stacked upon itself.
Yeah, I keep thinking about Council telling us the other day, we're not there yet. It's not time yet in terms of, like, calling up some of the kids, you know, whether it was power bats or possible bullpen replacements. And it's like, they're not there yet. And And then they do a couple things, like give Keegan Thompson and Colton Brewer a ninth inning, and, like, you know, DFA Gomes and sign Nito. It's like, well, maybe they are there, and he's just telling us they're not there yet. But from their perspective, in terms of, like, aggressive moves, I mean, I kind of get that they're not there yet. It sucks. It's uncomfortable, but I get the patience. They're one of nine teams in the National League that's between four games under 500 and 500. Nine freaking teams that are all just, like, in this ugly morass in the middle of the freaking league. So they got to give it a few more weeks and see if anything clears itself out. And we'll see if it does.
312-644-6767. Mike on the north side maybe has a solution. What's up, Mike?
Hey, Mike.
Hey, guys. I haven't called in a while, but here's the thing. I'm going to hit a couple points and then my main point. I was actually impressed or surprised that Council hit PCA ninth yesterday. Where the hell has that been? Because you could see what he can do just by being on the bases. Why Morrell is still in the lineup every day and batting fourth is beyond me. Who are you going to bring up? I don't care if Casey is DHing. Give him a freaking chance. Morrell, Suzuki him for a week or two. It's just... He kills every inning. I get it. Everyone today was bad. But Morrell just has not been able to pick it up. And here's my main point, and this has been forever. I understand that 5 or 6 degrees in the temperature might not make all that big of a difference and no sun. But for God's sakes, when I look at the scoreboard, and this is the only God-freaking game on a Friday afternoon, I mean... How much longer is this stupidity?
Oh,
the
stop.
Only sports franchise in the world has to play a schedule according to the neighborhood, because there isn't one team in any league around the world that's forced to play because of the neighborhood.
So what's
I'm at my office. I want to watch the game when I get home. No, I'm at my office. I can't watch it. I can't concentrate. Why can't they play like every other team? I'm asking a serious question. Why can't they have a normal schedule like every other sports team? That's all I want to know.
They get isolation, dude. I think they like
Fridays
it.
Fridays at 1:20 are an institution, man.
It's not that they're being forced to anymore. I mean, they've expanded the number, but I think they like the isolation. It's been a very healthy thing through the years, and they continue to draw like 35, 40 grand every time.
Well, and, I mean, talk about barking up the wrong tree, Mike. Tanny, how do you feel about Friday 1:20 games?
Mike, do me a solid. Read the room, huh?
Yeah. You're calling the wrong guys about that old let's play Friday night games, buddy.
We love the 1:20 Friday, okay?
Hey, pre-pitch clock, a game like this today, we wouldn't exist.
Well, this was one of those throwback games.
You're working from home. You settle in with a cup of coffee, ready to get the day started. Before you look at that to-do list, turn on your favorite Odyssey sports station on your smart speaker. We'll keep you company and bring you the latest updates from your teams while you tackle your inbox or get ready for another meeting that probably could have been an email. Power through the workday with the entertaining sports coverage you love from the local voices you trust. Just ask your smart speaker to play your favorite station.
Today, which I really enjoy.
Mike, I didn't leave my house today until like 2:45, brother. Shut the hell up for me.
Yeah, Mike. call Mully and Hall with this take.
Well, we love you, Mike. We love you.
Mike. No, I'm not saying don't listen or don't call.
Yeah.
You're calling the wrong show with the old Friday at 1:20 take.
Hey, Mike, why don't you be a little more successful at work? You could make some more money and leave early. All right? How about that?
Wow. That's a bad
Mike
guy
is a
move.
Good worker. I know that.
That was a Dan McNeil impression right there, okay?
Oh, you're one doing time, a character. Character.
I'm doing a character. I should have done it in The Voice years ago.
That would have helped. It sounded a lot like you. It sounded a lot like you were telling
that's,
Mike to work
that's my
harder.
First mistake. Hey, Mike, have a plan. Years ago, I remember so we took calls from some White Sox people like, I don't like that I can't get the good seats. I forget why the guy was complaining that he couldn't get the good seats. And McNeil's like, why don't you make a little more money and have a plan? Then you could buy yourself better seats. And I was sitting there going, are we really doing this? Are we insulting the...
I mean, that's a take. He's not wrong.
I know. Well, I was only kidding. That was
sure you were.
I feel you, Mike. But hey, Friday, it's fun to have an afternoon game. It's better when they win, like Justin Steele said the other night. It's a lot cooler if you win. He wasn't wrong. A
lot cooler if you win. You have been calling for something with Shota in terms of picks. It's more of a pitch than a picks.
Yeah.
Pitch mix. Jesse Rogers brought it up to Craig Counsell in pregame, and it was an interesting back and forth.
I assume he was kind of looked like four-seam split heavy the first time he faced him. Do you think he changes it up a little bit, though? Throws some of the other stuff.
Do you want him to make up a pitch, Jesse?
He's got other pitches. He's got other stuff.
You want him to throw a sinker today, Jesse?
I mean,
Jesse's looking for a knuckleball.
You know, he's talked about it. Other pitches he hasn't really unveiled much. He's had so much success.
I think pitchers pitch to their strengths.
And that was how it went.
You know, pitchers pitch to their strengths. Okay, but yeah, Danny Parkins, you are right. I've been calling for Shota Imanaga to be ready to mix it up. And today, this is the first time that he faced a team for the second time. And Carlos Mendoza, the manager of the Mets, not Carlos Mencia. It's a very different person. Okay?
The joke thief.
Yes. But Carlos Mendoza said they were sitting fastball. They came in just looking four-seam fastball the entire time. And they pounced early. Call it an ambush if you want. But they knew what they were looking for and went after him. Yeah, time is now, and it should have been today. It should have been today that Shota was ready to mix it up. It's time to nibble a little bit. The walk rate's been low. That's been great. He's been attacking people and going after them. It is time to throw more of the sweeper. It is time maybe to throw more of the curveball, which has just been a kind of get-me-over pitch. I mean, look at modern MLB, man. If you can spot that curveball, it can be devastating. See Quintana today? And we'll get back to him in a second.
I barely recognized him, but yeah.
Well, yeah, but Shota absolutely needs to mix it up, especially second time through the league. And I thought they were late. Thought they were late to do so today. That's a great question by Jesse pregame. And obviously the Mets were ready to pounce.
Quintana. You're welcome.
Yeah.
So Sahadev posited this on Twitter. Since May 31st, the Mets have a WRC plus of 143, best in baseball. The group Shota Imanaga faced on May 1st is just performing so much better of late. They're hammering his four-seamer today. All three homers on that pitch, average exit velocity on four-seamers put in play is 105.8.
They've been great. They've been absolutely great. That offense has exploded. They have some serious dudes on there, man. You look at that lineup and you're like, oh boy, look at that. JD Martinez can absolutely still rake. Wanted him for the Cubs. Obviously, Alonso and Lindor and Marte. I mean, all those guys can rake. And you know that they've been absolutely on fire. So you got to mess with their timing from the get-go today. And Shota did not.
Yeah, because he's not going to abandon his four-seamer.
No.
It's just you're saying he's got to pitch more things so that they can't sit on the four-seamer as much.
That's exactly it. Last time out, I guess it was two starts ago, 13 of his final 17 hitters that he faced, he didn't throw the fastball for the first pitch. It was either sweeper or changeup or curve. And he was, you know, just he was stealing strikes with different looks. That was the last time through, third time through. He should have started that way today. It's easy for me to second guess it now. Obviously, it makes all the sense in the world now when you think about this team who's been hot and the second time seeing him. But next time he faces a team that has seen him before, and maybe just next time he faces anybody, they're all going to be sitting four-seamer. I would absolutely junk it up a little bit early in the count right from the get-go the first time through.
Well, I mean, listen, whatever would help, because, I mean, he's been their best player by far this year, right? I mean, Shota and Assad.
Yes.
That's your list. Like, knowing where they are with those guys pitching as well as they've been, I don't even really want to imagine what it would be if not.
Yeah. But and one thing on Quintana, the thing about Quintana always was when he was here, he needs to throw the curveball more, I want. I remember one time Theo actually just said in the dugout one day, yeah, he needs to throw the curveball more instead of actually just saying he's going to throw it more. And there it was, just looking freaking awesome. Awesome today. 2-0 to Morel. Gave him a curveball that Morel dribbled up the right, the first base line. It's like fastball counts don't exist anymore, as JD and Boog were talking about at that moment. It's like, so it showed it. It's okay to throw the junky stuff early in counts. It's okay to do that these days in MLB.
Terrific show coming up, produced by Chris Tannehill, hosted by Mark Grody. The Salute to Sandberg coming up tonight at 6 o'clock, so stay tuned for that. This Cubs game, obviously not great. The guys tell me, though, that I missed something that I absolutely need to hear that will put a smile on our face heading into the weekend. It's next on The Score.
You know, we call today Feel Good Friday, so I'm trying to stick to that, you know?
I like it.
Oh, yes, I understand you're fond of music. I have arranged a little surprise for you.
Surprise?
And what am I listening to here, Speaks?
Brand new track released today on Bandcamp from Sonic 45.
This very one time exciting. At Bandcamp?
Yeah, see, this one time at Bandcamp, we released new music. Len Casper, our buddy on the bass, Liam Davis, Gerald Dowd, and who, Shane? Who's playing guitar?
My guy, Dag.
Dog Julin.
Dag Julin, the best.
Playing guitar right here.
Yeah, it's good to have fun with names.
It is, Pat. Very good, Matt. Thank you.
Love Dag.
That's what Pat thinks about the vocal on this one. He thinks it's very good, Matt. Thank you. One can only assume. But yeah, me on the vocals. Kate Tucker singing harmonies on this. I'm very excited for the second record. July 13th at Space in Evanston. Come hang out for the Sonic 45 album release party. And go to sonic45.bandcamp.com. If you want to grab the track, and there's a few other tracks there as well.
Very cool.
Very good, Matt. Thank you.
You're welcome, Pat. Thanks for noticing, hanging out.
Did you have fun with Ryan McGuffey yesterday?
I did, man. He's a delightful dude. And yesterday was White Aging Closer Day, in honor of the game at Rickwood, of course, last night, because we had Jonathan Papelbon.
What?
just go with it. You know.
I leave for one day.
Oh, you care?
Yeah.
Man, I don't give a care what you think, Shane. I'll do what I need to, all right?
Go care yourself.
You dumb care.
Wait,
that guy's a real care hole, isn't he? I think he is.
Sometimes I'm not sure if Shane is replacing curse words with care or like derogatory slurs with care.
Yeah,
like,
what do you either, dude? Stay on your toes. stay on your toes, brother.
Now I'm not sure if Shane's allowed to play the game. I'm like, what did you just call me? What kind of care did you just call me?
Well, you know, that's what I love about First and Pod. You and Pony don't kiss each other's cares at all on that show. Not even a little.
No, not even a little.
Oh, God. It didn't really work. That one really didn't work.
They don't care each other's cares even.
Damn, Tanny just said the N-word.
No,
we didn't. No, we didn't. Speaks. What the hell, dude?
Come on.
Why'd you say that?
Danny,
I trust Tanny's cares. I don't trust Shane's cares. That's ridiculous. All right, well, so speaking of what I missed, how did it go with the Caruso Giddy trade? That happened live while you were on the air, right?
Dude, we were in the middle of a Bulls segment talking
really?
About. We were in the middle
we're
of a Bulls segment. We were talking Bulls. We were talking about trading Zach LaVine, hopefully. Talking about maybe having to deal with trading Alex Caruso as well, having to survive that. And as we were talking about it, Shane broke in with the news as we were in the middle of the conversation. So we processed it in real time and then talked to Cowley later on. Yeah, I haven't heard what you think about it. Like, on the face of it, I'm okay with trading a 30-year-old, soon-to-be extended player for a 21-year-old with a high ceiling. It's just that Josh Giddey might if he never can shoot, if he never learns to shoot, then you've got a very problematic player that you're probably going to extend anyway.
Yeah, we'll do something more at length on it, I think, next week. I think it's crazy to make a deal with the Thunder and not target one of their draft picks. I just think that that is bad business. Like, dealing with Presti is tough. If Presti's willing to let someone go, and I know his statement said he thinks that Giddey can be a future all-star, and Giddey's a really talented player. He's a very good all-around player. And 21-year-olds who can't shoot, like, the league is filled with guys who learned how to shoot. But he was a disaster in their playoff elimination series. He was getting benched. He was getting targeted on the defensive end. Like, he's not a good defensive player, and he can't shoot. He could do basically everything else. But those are two big things to not have as your foundational pieces. And I didn't like trusting the draft pick that someone else made and is now willing to part with, instead of saying, I trust my own scouting department and my own scouting eye to try to get some premium draft picks in here. Because you're about to have to pay Giddey, too. So you did get younger, but you got to pay Giddey just like they're going to have to pay Caruso. So if it was Giddey and a pick, I would have been much more on board with it. But Giddey definitely has some upside. But we should. I want to spend some time on Sandberg too.
Before absolutely. Here. Just one other thing on that. The fact that in Presti's statement, like you mentioned, Giddey basically asked for a trade, which means here so early in the process, the Bulls caught wind of it. Said, "Oh, yep, here you go. Here's Caruso." And, like, they moved fast, and it's hard to trust AK again when you think of all that context.
Yeah, I mean, just think about it again. You can win trades against great executives. It can be done, but Presti is the best in the sport, him and Brad Stevens, and AK is very much not.
Shane and I always say Presti is the bestie, you know? That's what we've always said.
Yep. And AK is kind of a really carry GM, it seems to me.
He's caring, guys.
Sam Presti, you talked about him in Pipeline to the Bros, right?
That's where it is. Available wherever books are sold. Pipeline.
No,
Pipeline
it was
to the Bros. Imagine that book. I'm gonna write that one.
Shane, it was about poetry.
Story.
Pipeline to the Pros.
Yeah, it was Pipeline to the Pros. It was about poetry and just kind of long form writing in perfect sentence structure. Yep. Pipeline to the Pros.
All Pipeline to the Bros just like sussing excellent. Out all these frats. Just like, hey, let's find them. Let's get that pipeline. Oh, your dad was in a frat? You're in, dude. Yeah. That's the pipeline of the legacy. Bros.
Here's the old chapter on SAE.
Yeah. Apparently, there is a quintessential Grody and Rhino back and forth. Cannot wait to hear it next on The Score.
And now, you're listening to Perkins and Spiegel on 670 The Score.
First of all, it's not Ryan. It's Rhine. Rhine, Rhine, Rhine. Not Ryan.
I assume that is why he's getting a statue. Because of that all-time drop and moment in Score history, they were like, you know, yeah, the home runs and the gold gloves and the consistency were nice. But Rhine, Rhine, Rhine. Give him a statue.
Can't wait for the statue, man. Cannot wait for the statue.
Yeah, that is going to be very cool. Tonight, 6 o'clock, we are leading in to A Salute to Sandberg, documentary-style radio, right here on The Score, hosted by Mark Grody. And according to Jeff Agrest in the Chicago Sun-Times, produced by Chris Tannehill, The Score's special projects executive producer.
Oh yeah, my special projects.
The SPAP! Wait,
that's really undermining. Okay, you got our special projects right, Chris. Yeah, absolutely. I'm ready to go with the special projects.
We call him the SAP because his actual title is he was elevated to senior audio producer. So he oversees the audio for all the shows.
Yeah.
When Russ Matera, our production guy, is out, Tanny sits in for him. Radiothon production, like, yes, big events, special shows like this for sure, but he does all the other. He's a sap. He's not a spep.
He's a spep. He's now also a spep. So he's a sap and a spep. It's like one of those accountants that has like three different, you know, letter
right
things.
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah.
So did we get another raise? Sap and spoop.
Maybe. Yeah. Maybe it's part of it. Yeah. I'll have to go back and check on that. But yeah, Grody just did an awesome job with this show. It was so cool to have him part of it because obviously Grody, growing up Cubs fan, and he's got this unique relationship with Rhino because they did pre and post together back in the day, right? So like they've been working together for a while and they've developed like this rapport that I think is really fun. You guys may remember this from the show a couple years back when they had a text exchange.
Hey, Chris, let me bring that. This. I could bring this full circle for you if you'd like.
Sure.
For this show that you're doing. You're doing the Hit and Run show, and I've always been a fan of Hit and Run, honestly, not just saying that. And as I'm just about to come on the radio with you, I got a text message from none other than Ryan Sandberg, who played baseball, saying,
look at you.
Yeah, saying, happy opening day. So how about nice baseball, guy. Right? Baseball and football coming together. And he put the little thumbs up sign, and then there's a rhinoceros next to it. So I think he meant to put a bear, but there is a rhino. Oh, no, wait. Wait a minute. I'm an idiot. He put that because he's rhino. He's rhino. I just figured it out.
You are. Oh, my God. You had me thinking, why is there, rhino.
Yeah.
So they've got a thing, right?
They have a thing. That was an interesting, incredible all-time moment. And I wonder how long it would have taken. Like, how many times would he have had to text him a rhino before Grody would have figured it out if he didn't say it live on the air? Just beautiful.
Yeah, so, like, now, to this day, when Grody sends in his cuts for his Bears hits, like, you know, we used to text a bear back and forth to say, hey, I got it, you know, I got the audio. But now, just rhino. We text a rhino every time because of that.
Or a shark.
Yeah, there's a shark tooped in it. We will do that. But, so, everyone knows rhino. You just say rhino, everyone knows who you're talking about, right? But there's another name that Mark refers to Ryan Sandberg as, and he just comes right out with it. This is from the interview that's going to run about an hour from now on the Salute to Sandberg. This is Mark Grody with Ryan Sandberg on his nickname.
Hello, Rhino, and welcome into a Salute to Sandberg. That's you.
Hey, Mark, appreciate that. And, you and I go back a little bit, and I gave you a little tidbit early on where my nickname was Sandy. I know that you had a blast with that.
I sure did.
Now the last 42 years, Ryan, all of that'll work. But it's nice to be with you.
Yeah, thank you so much. Yeah, I don't know why I had get a kick out of the Sandy thing, just because you are Rhino. Before you became this prolific player and Hall of Famer, you were just Sandy from the block, basically.
Through the minor leagues, it was Sandy, just my last name with a Y at the end of it, so Sandy. And then Harry Carey in 82 dubbed me Rhino, and that stuck ever since my rookie season.
Oh, my
Sandy! You won't want to miss this interview with Sandy from the block. It's really good stuff that Mark did. You know, he goes really in depth on, you know, what he's going through and his battle with cancer and why he chose to be so public facing with it. It's really good stuff. Mark did an excellent job, and we've got Andre Dawson on the show, Barry Rosner telling great stories about writing the speech. We got Bruce Levine.
Wow,
it's amazing. Yeah, I'm looking forward to everyone hearing it tonight.
Very, very cool.
That's
Can't
incredible.
Wait to hear it at the top of the hour. Let me get on record. I think the statue on Sunday, when revealed, is going to be him playing defense. The knees bent, slight crouch, the sunglasses with the flip top, so he's got the flip up, and it's going to be in the home Wrigley uniform with the ivy-covered wall deep in the background. That's my guess as to what the statue is.
You're working from home. You settle in with a cup of coffee, ready to get the day started. Before you look at that to-do list, turn on your favorite Odyssey sports station on your smart speaker. We'll keep you company and bring you the latest updates from your teams while you tackle your inbox or get ready for another meeting that probably could have been an email. Power through the workday with the entertaining sports coverage you love from the local voices you trust. Just ask your smart speaker to play your favorite station.
You know, we call today Feel Good Friday, so I'm trying to stick to that, you know?
I like it.
Oh, yes, I understand you're fond of music. I have arranged a little surprise for you.
Surprise?
Hey, what am I listening to here, Speaks?
Brand new track released today on Bandcamp from Sonic 45.
This
Very
one time
exciting.
At Bandcamp?
Yeah, see, this one time at Bandcamp, we released new music. Len Casper, our buddy on the bass, Liam Davis, Gerald Dowd, and who, Shane? Who's playing guitar?
My guy, Dag.
Dog Julin.
Dag Julin, the best.
Playing
best
guitar right here.
City.
Yours? It's good to have fun with names.
It is, Pat. Very good, Matt. Thank you.
Love Dag.
That's what Pat thinks about the vocal on this one. He thinks it's very good, Matt. Thank you. One can only assume. But yeah, me on the vocals. Kate Tucker singing harmonies on this. I'm very excited for the second record. July 13th at Space in Evanston. Come hang out for the Sonic 45 album release party. And go to sonic45.bandcamp.com if you want to grab the track. And there's a few other tracks there as well.
Very cool.
Very good, Matt. Thank you.
You're welcome, Pat. Thanks for noticing, hanging out.
Did you have fun with Ryan McGuffey yesterday?
I did, man. He's a delightful dude. And yesterday was White Aging Closer Day in honor of the game at Rickwood, of course, last night. Because we had Jonathan Papelbon.
And what?
just go with it.
I leave for one day?
Oh, you care?
Yeah.
Man, I don't give a care what you think, Shane. I'll do what I need to, all right?
Go care yourself.
You dumb care.
Wait.
That guy's a real care hole, isn't he? I think he is.
Sometimes I'm not sure if Shane is replacing curse words with care or like derogatory slurs with care.
Yeah,
like,
what could be either. Dude, stay on your toes. stay on your toes, brother.
Now I'm not sure if Shane's allowed to play the game. I'm like, what did you just call me? What kind of care did you just call me?
Well, you know, that's what I love about First and Pod. You and Pony don't kiss each other's cares at all on that show. Not even a little.
No, not even a little.
Oh, God.
It didn't really work. Didn't work.
They don't care each other's cares either.
Damn, Tanny just said the N-word.
No, we didn't.
Speaks. What the hell, dude?
Come on.
Say that?
Danny.
I trust Tanny's cares. I don't trust Shane's cares. That's ridiculous. All right, well, so speaking of what I missed, how did it go with the Caruso-Giddy trade? That happened live while you were on the air, right?
Dude, we were in the middle of a Bulls segment talking
really?
About... We were in the middle
you're
of a Bulls segment.
Bulls.
We were talking Bulls. We were talking about trading Zach LaVine, hopefully, talking about maybe having to deal with trading Alex Caruso as well, having to survive that. And as we were talking about it, Shane broke in with the news as we were in the middle of the conversation. So we processed it in real time and then talked to Cowley later on. Yeah, I haven't heard what you think about it. Like, on the face of it, I'm okay with trading a 30-year-old soon-to-be-extended player for a 21-year-old with a high ceiling. It's just that Josh Giddey might if he never can shoot, if he never learns to shoot, then you've got a very problematic player that you're probably going to extend anyway.
Yeah, we'll do something more at length on it, I think, next week. I think it's crazy to make a deal with the Thunder and not target one of their draft picks. I just think that is bad business. Like, dealing with Presti is tough. If Presti's willing to let someone go, and I know his statement said he thinks that Giddey can be a future all-star, and Giddey's a really talented player. He's a very good all-around player, and 21-year-olds who can't shoot, like, the league is filled with guys who learned how to shoot. But he was a disaster in their playoff elimination series. He was getting benched. He was getting targeted on the defensive end. Like, he's not a good defensive player, and he can't shoot. He could do basically everything else. But those are two big things to not have as your foundational pieces. And I didn't like trusting the draft pick that someone else made and is now willing to part with instead of saying, I trust my own scouting department and my own scouting eye to try to get some premium draft picks in here. Because you're about to have to pay Giddey, too. So you did get younger, but... You got to pay Giddey just like they're going to have to pay Caruso. So if it was Giddey and a pick, I would have been much more on board with it. But Giddey definitely has some upside. But we should. I want to spend some time on Sandberg too.
Absolutely. Just one other thing on that. The fact that in Presti's statement, like you mentioned, Giddey basically asked for a trade, which means here so early in the process, the Bulls caught wind of it. Said, "Oh, yep, here you go. Here's Caruso." And, like, they moved fast, and it's hard to trust AK again when you think of all that context.
Yeah, I mean, just think about it again. You can win trades against great executives. It can be done, but Presti is the best in the sport, him and Brad Stevens, and AK is very much not.
Shane and I always say Presti is the bestie, you know? That's what we've always said.
Yep. And AK is kind of a really carry GM, it seems to me.
He's caring, guys.
Sam Presti, you talked about him in Pipeline to the Bros, right?
That's where it is. Available wherever books are sold.
Yes.
Pipeline to the Bros.
Imagine that book. I'm going to write that one.
Shane, it was about poetry.
Story.
Pipeline to the Prose.
Yeah, it was Pipeline to the Prose. It was about poetry and just kind of long form writing in perfect sentence structure. Yep. Pipeline to the Prose.
Pipeline to the Prose, just like sussing out all these frats. Just like, hey, let's find them. Let's get that pipeline. Oh, your dad was in a frat? You're in, dude. Yeah. That's the Pipeline to the Prose.
Here's the old chapter on SAE. Yeah.
Apparently, there is a quintessential Grody and Rhino back and forth. Cannot wait to hear it next on The Score.
And now, you're listening to Parkins and Spiegel on 670 The Score.
First of all, it's not Ryan. It's Rhine. Rhine, Rhine, Rhine. Not Ryan.
I assume that is why he's getting a statue. Because of that all-time drop and moment in Score history, they were like, you know, yeah, the home runs and the gold gloves and the consistency were nice, but Rhine, 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 give him a statue.
Cannot wait for the statue.
Yeah, that is going to be very cool. Tonight, 6 o'clock, we are leading into A Salute to Sandberg, documentary-style radio right here on The Score, hosted by Mark Grody, and according to Jeff Agrest in the Chicago Sun-Times, produced by Chris Tannehill, The Score's special projects executive producer.
Oh, yeah, my special projects.
The SPEP.
Wait, that's really undermining. Okay, you got our special projects, right, Chris? Yeah, well, absolutely. I'm ready to go with the special projects.
We call him the SAP because his actual title is he was elevated to senior audio producer. So he oversees the audio for all the shows.
Yeah.
When Russ Matera, our production guy, is out, Tanny sits in for him. Radiothon production, like, yes, big events, special shows like this for sure, but he does all the other. He's a sap. He's not a spep.
He's a spep. He's now also a spep. So he's a sap and a spep. It's like one of those accountants that has like three different, you know, letter things.
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah.
So did we get another raise? Sap and spep.
Maybe. Yeah. Maybe it's part of it. Yeah. I'll have to go back and check on that. But yeah, Grody just did an awesome job with this show. It was so cool to have him part of it because obviously Grody, growing up a Cubs fan, and he's got this unique relationship with Rhino because they did pre and post together back in the day, right? So like they've been working together for a while and they've developed like this rapport that I think is really fun. You guys may remember this from the show a couple years back when they had a text exchange.
Hey, yes. Chris, let me bring that. I could bring this full circle for you if you'd like.
Sure.
To this show that you're doing the Hit and Run show, and I've always been a fan of Hit and Run, honest and not just saying that. And as I'm just about to come on the radio with you, I got a text message from none other than Ryan Sandberg, who played baseball, saying,
look at you.
Yeah, saying, happy opening day. So how about nice baseball, guy. Right? Baseball and football coming together. And he put the little thumbs up sign, and then there's a rhinoceros next to it. So I think he meant to put a bear, but there is a rhino. Oh, no, wait. Wait a minute. I'm an idiot. He put that because he's rhino. He's rhino. I just
you
figured it
are,
out.
Oh, my God. You had me thinking, why is there, rhino?
Yeah.
So they've got a thing, right? Yeah.
They have a thing. That was an interesting, incredible all-time moment. And I wonder how long it would have taken him. Like, how many times would he have had to text him a rhino before Grody would have figured it out if he didn't say it live on the air? Just beautiful.
Yeah, so, like, now, to this day, when Grody sends in his cuts for his Bears hits, like, you know, we used to text a bear back and forth to say, hey, I got it, you know, I got the audio. But now, just rhino. We text a rhino every time because of that.
Or a shark.
Yeah, there's a shark tooped in it. We will do that. But so everyone knows Rhino. You just say Rhino, everyone knows who you're talking about, right? But there's another name that Mark refers to Ryne Sandberg as, and he just comes right out with it. This is from the interview that's going to run about an hour from now on the Salute to Sandberg. This is Mark Grody to Ryne Sandberg on his nickname.
Hello, Rhino, and welcome into a Salute to Sandberg. That's you.
Hey, Mark, appreciate that. And, you know, you and I go back a little bit, and I gave you a little tidbit early on where my nickname was Sandy. I know that you had a blast with that.
I so, sure
but
did.
Now the last 42 years, Ryan, all of that will work. But it's nice to be with you.
Yeah, thank you so much. Yeah, I don't know why I had get a kick out of the Sandy thing, just because you are Rhino. Before you became this prolific player and Hall of Famer, you were just Sandy from the block, basically.
Through the minor leagues, it was Sandy, just my last name with a Y at the end of it, so Sandy. And then Harry Carey in 82 dubbed me Rhino, and that stuck ever since my rookie season.
Oh, my
Sandy! You won't want to miss this interview with Sandy from the block. It's really good stuff that Mark did. You know, he goes really in depth on, you know, what he's going through and his battle with cancer and why he chose to be so public facing with it. It's really good stuff. Mark did an excellent job, and we've got Andre Dawson on the show, Barry Rosner telling great stories about writing the speech. We got Bruce Levine.
Wow,
it's amazing. Yeah, I'm looking forward to everyone hearing it tonight.
Very, very cool.
That's
Can't
incredible.
Wait to hear it at the top of the hour. Let me get on record. I think the statue on Sunday, when revealed, is going to be him playing defense. The knees bent, slight crouch, the sunglasses with the flip top, so he's got the flip up, and it's going to be in the home Wrigley uniform with the ivy-covered wall deep in the background. That's my guess as to what the statue is.
We talked to him about it, broadcast at Harry Carey's, about the different
yep.
options and how there was a real, you know, offense or defense or base running
yeah.
type of debate. Do you have any inside information there?
None. None at all.
For that specifics?
Nope.
Maybe we can text Sandy to find out.
Yeah.
I think he's going to have a horn, and he'll be in the Sahara.
That's entirely possible.
That's off the board.
Like a rhino.
Yeah. Oh, I get it. I see. That's awesome. Can't wait to hear this show, man, coming up right after us. That's
yeah, and
really
podcast
cool.
version, when it's done, it's a longer extended version. So make sure you grab the podcast once it hits the air. So,
man, I got to think of a special project so we can get the SPPEP to work on it.
It's the Parkinson Spiegel Show, man. We get the SPPEP Monday through Friday, 2 to 6.
We're kind of a special project.
We are.
Oh, yeah. Yeah. Craig Council knows.
They're still trying to figure it out.
You really are.
You guys are so much for us already.
Oh, man. I want to hear about the TV. Want to hear about the TV next week.
Tuesday.
Yeah, I'm off Monday, but
not
for TV.
Are you on TV again?
No, I'm not on TV on Monday. Kevin Butler's golf tournament at Medina. I'm golfing with Butthead at Medina.
Wow.
Very excited about
nice.
It.
Nice.
On Monday. Yeah.
I got a special project, so I'm not going to be in.
Okay. But I'll be back on Tuesday.
So Medina has like those scooter things. Are you going to use that or a standard cart?
I'm not sure what we get to use, okay. But I'm definitely going to try to recreate Sergio's shot from 99.
Yeah.
Well, I look, man, I'm not going to say I'm grumpy that you're off on Monday, but I hope you have a great caring day. Okay?
Thanks. Thank you so much. Thank you, Connor
Marshall
O'Donnell.
Harris
Kevin.
In, by the way. Marshall Harris.
Ah, speaks of Marshall Harris on Monday. All right, that'll be fun.
Lovely. Thank you to Connor O'Donnell, Kevin Lapka, Twitch chat and video stream. Thank you, sirs. Shane Reardon, our executive producer. Thank you, sir. Chris Tannehill makes us sound better than we are each and every day.
Listen and to special. The
and, yeah, you do. I maybe have to change it. I maybe do have to change it. The spup up. Mark Grody follows us with the Salute to Sandberg. For Matt Spiegel, I'm Danny Parkins. We are Parkins and Spiegel. This is The Score.
That's radio, right? You know. I mean, whatever. They tried. Didn't go over well. All good.
And now you're listening to Parkins and Spiegel on 670 The Score.
First of all, it's not Ryan. It's Rhine. Rhine, Rhine, Rhine. Not Ryan.
I assume that is why he's getting a statue. Because of that all-time drop and moment in Score history, they were like, you know, yeah, the home runs and the gold gloves and the consistency were nice. But Rhine, Rhine, Rhine. Give him a statue.
Can't tonight, wait for the statue, man. Cannot wait for the statue.
Yeah, that is going to be very cool. Tonight, 6 o'clock, we are leading in to A Salute to Sandberg, documentary-style radio, right here on The Score, hosted by Mark Grody. And according to Jeff Agrest in the Chicago Sun-Times, produced by Chris Tannehill, The Score's special projects executive producer.
Oh, yeah, my special projects.
The SPAP! Wait,
that's really undermining. Okay, you got our special projects, right, Chris? Yeah, absolutely. I'm ready to go with the special projects.
We call him the SAP because his actual title is he was elevated to senior audio producer. So he oversees the audio for all the shows.
Yeah.
When Russ Matera, our production guy, is out, Tanny sits in for him. Radiothon production, like, yes, big events, special shows like this for sure, but he does all the audio. He's a SAP. He's not a SPAP.
He's a SPAP. He's now also a SPAP. So he's a SAP and a SPAP. It's like one of those accountants that has like three different, you know, letter things.
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah.
So did we get another raise? SAP and SPAP?
Maybe, yeah. Maybe it's part of it. Yeah, I'll have to go back and check on that. But, yeah, Grody just did an awesome job with this show. It was so cool to have him part of it because, obviously, Grody, growing up a Cubs fan, and he's got this unique relationship with Rhino because they did pre and post together back in the day, right? So, like, they've been working together for a while, and they've developed, like, this rapport that I think is really fun. You guys may remember this from the show a couple years back when they had a text exchange.
Hey, Chris, let me bring that. This I could bring this full circle for you if you'd like.
Sure.
For this show that you're doing the Hit and Run show, and I've always been a fan of Hit and Run, honest and not just saying that. And as I'm just about to come on the radio with you, I got a text message from none other than Ryan Sandberg, who played baseball, saying,
"Look at you."
Yeah, saying, "Happy opening day." So how about
nice
baseball,
guy.
Right? Baseball and football coming together. And he put the little thumbs up sign, and then there's a rhinoceros next to it. So I think he meant to put a bear, but there is a rhino. Oh, no, wait. Wait a minute. I'm an idiot. He put that because he's rhino. He's rhino. I just figured
you
it out.
You are. Oh, my God. You had me thinking, why is there, rhino?
Yeah.
So they've got a thing, right?
They have a thing. That was an interesting, incredible all-time moment. And I wonder how long it would have taken him. Like, how many times would he have had to text him a rhino before Grody would have figured it out if he didn't say it live on the air? Just beautiful.
Yeah, so, like, now, to this day, when Grody sends in his cuts for his Bears hits, like, you know, we used to text a bear back and forth to say, hey, I got it, you know, I got the audio. But now, it's rhino. We text a rhino every time because of that.
A shark.
Yeah, there's a shark too in it. We will do that. But, so, everyone knows rhino. You just say rhino, everyone knows who you're talking about, right? But there's another name that Mark refers to Ryan Sandberg as, and he just comes right out with it. This is from the interview that's going to run about an hour from now on the Salute to Sandberg. This is Mark Grody with Ryan Sandberg on his nickname.
Hello, Rhino, and welcome into A Salute to Sandberg. That's you.
Hey, Mark, appreciate that. And, you know, you and I go back a little bit, and I gave you a little tidbit early on where my nickname was Sandy. I know that you had a blast with that.
I sure did.
Now the last 42 years, Ryan, all of that'll work. But it's nice to be with you.
Yeah, thank you so much. Yeah, I don't know why I had get a kick out of the Sandy thing, just because you are Rhino. Before you became this prolific player and Hall of Famer, you were just Sandy from the block, basically.
Through the minor leagues, it was Sandy, just my last name with a Y at the end of it, so Sandy. And then Harry Carey in 82 dubbed me Rhino, and that stuck ever since my rookie season.
Oh, my
Sandy!
God.
You won't want to miss this interview with Sandy from the block. It's really good stuff that Mark did. You know, he goes really in depth on, you know, what he's going through and his battle with cancer and why he chose to be so public facing with it. It's really good stuff. Mark did an excellent job, and we've got Andre Dawson on the show, Barry Rosner telling great stories about writing the speech. We got Bruce Levine.
Wow,
it's amazing. Yeah, I'm looking forward to everyone hearing it tonight.
Very, very cool.
That's
Can't
incredible.
Wait to hear it at the top of the hour. Let me get on record. I think the statue on Sunday, when revealed, is going to be him playing defense, the knees bent, slight crouch, the sunglasses with the flip top, so he's got the flip up, and it's going to be in the home Wrigley uniform with the ivy-covered wall deep in the background. That's my guess as to what the statue is.
We talked to him about it, broadcast at Harry Carey's, about the different options and how there was a real, you know, offense or defense or base running type of debate. Do you have any inside information there?
None at all.
For that specifics?
No.
Maybe we can text Sandy to find out.
Yeah.
Ken. I think he's going to have a horn and he'll be in the Sahara.
That's entirely possible.
That's off the board.
Like a rhino.
Yeah. Oh, I get it. I see. That's awesome. Can't wait to hear this show, man, coming up right after us. That's
podcast version, when it's done, it's a longer extended version. So make sure you grab the podcast once it hits the air. So,
man, I got to think of a special project so we can get the SPPEP to work on it.
It's the Parkins and Spiegel show, man. We get the SPPEP Monday through Friday, 2 to 6.
We're kind of a special project.
We are.
Oh, yeah. Craig Council knows.
They're still trying to figure it out.
You really are.
You guys are so much for us already.
Oh, man. I want to hear about the TV. Want to hear about the TV next week.
Tuesday.
Yeah, I'm off Monday, but not
on TV again?
No, I'm not on TV on Monday. Kevin Butler's golf tournament at Medina. I'm golfing with Butthead at Medina.
Wow.
Very excited about
it. Nice.
On Monday. Yeah.
I got a special project, so I'm not going to be in.
Okay. But I'll be back on Tuesday.
So Medina has like those scooter things. Are you going to use that or a standard cart?
I'm not sure what we get to use, but I'm definitely going to try to recreate Sergio's shot from 99.
Yeah.
Well, I look, man, I'm not going to say I'm grumpy that you're off on Monday, but I hope you have a great caring day. Okay?
Thanks. Thank you so much. Thank you, Connor O'Donnell.
Marshall Harris.
Speaks of Marshall Harris on Monday. All right, that'll be fun.
Lovely. Thank you to Connor O'Donnell, Kevin Lapka, Twitch chat and video stream. Thank you, sirs. Shane Reardon, our executive producer. Thank you, sir. Chris Tannehill makes us sound better than we are each and every day.
Listen and to the special.
You do. I maybe have to change it. I maybe do have to change it. The SPPEP. Mark Grody follows us with the salute to Sandberg. For Matt Spiegel, I'm Danny Parkins. We are Parkins and Spiegel. This is The Score.
That's radio, right? You know. I mean, whatever. They tried. Didn't go over well. All good.
Trying to figure out what to eat for dinner yet again? With Knorr Sides and Bouillon as your not-so-secret ingredient, you can skip the drive-thru and do dinner at home. Knorr Taste Combos provide a menu of delicious, affordable, and well-balanced meals that you can prepare in 30 minutes or less. Visit Knorr.com to get quick and easy recipe ideas for your home-cooked weeknight dinners. It's not fast food, but it's so good.
You're working from home. You settle in with a cup of coffee, ready to get the day started. Before you look at that to-do list, turn on your favorite Odyssey sports station on your smart speaker. We'll keep you company and bring you the latest updates from your teams while you tackle your inbox or get ready for another meeting that probably could have been an email. Power through the workday with the entertaining sports coverage you love from the local voices you trust. Just ask your smart speaker to play your favorite station.